to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yeah, the situation in America. Hello, this is Roy Masters. The situation in America is very, very dangerous. I don't think you're going to make it because you're not made of the right stuff. I'm sorry. Religiosity and, you know, drinking, drugs. I always think of, you know, well, there's one religion I love, and the second one leads to it. The Judaism leads to Christianity, but Christianity is really the cure of everything. I mean, you read the scripture, and he says that everything that's wrong with you gets recovered if you find what me still a no means. And so I've learned something about my journey through the medical profession. And we used to have good doctors, and we still have a few left. But David, I think it was David, that messaged me that there's a million doctors within a few years. You won't have them anymore. We are sort of playing with people who just get sick, and you fix them again, and they get sick because they haven't got the source, found the source of what's wrong with them. And it's obvious that the medical system itself, and not just the people, is very vulnerable to the discovery of a way of conquering disease without any kind of medicine at all. You'd always need some. A small percentage stands, you know, in isolation by itself. You break your arm or something. You slip on something. Something like that, you need doctors. But even then, I can remember why David lost his finger. He's listening to me. Because I didn't listen to my intuition. See, in those days when he was very young, I was in the diamond business cutting diamonds, recutting old stones and make them beautiful and more valuable. And I was in a bank building, and I decided, I came out early, and I thought I'd go home. No, I thought I'd just have a haircut, but I felt, never forget that moment, because something told me to go home, but then I decided against it. And what happened from that is he lost his finger, and if I was there, he wouldn't have. He was playing with a bicycle, I think, and I would have seen it intuitively. And there's lots of little things like that, just a few, maybe not lots, but enough to tell me, when I remember these things, that I got to listen to my conscience. And the conscience just doesn't talk to you with words. It just gives you a little something or other you can't explain. And if I could get you to think of that something or another that is very difficult to say in a few words, but it could come through me by collecting certain amount of experiences. For instance, I was thinking about autism. 1 in 15 kids have autism. That was the last time I read about it. And immediately when I saw that, within a few weeks, there was some news about autism. And I think I'll just wait and tell you after the break, because we only have a minute. And then we got, let me take leukemia. I can remember what I discovered from leukemia about it when I was 15. I'll tell you all these things and how you can cure them. But I can tell you 99% of your illnesses and diseases and your arguments and your frustrations and your anxieties and everything They can't be cured by... You can't cure it by medicine. Look how much money it takes to save you from cancer. Look at the little children. Why do they get cancer? There's got to be a reason behind this. There's got to be a reason, and this program is subject to reasoning with this. I have learned what cures everything. There is one thing that cures everything. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, by Jove, it's me. Once an old Englishman trying to be an American and wake up Americans. That's not easy. You're pretty deep in crap. You know that, excuse the expression. It's hard to get to most people. And the truth that sets you free is difficult to hear. Once you become intoxicated by something, which I shall explain, is basically stress, cruelty, injustice. It's the way you react to those things. You know the old story, you can take the world, you can take the country, boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. That is exactly how you become. Once the culture gets inside you, it takes its shape from it. America is one of the few people, actually the only one really, besides England to some degree, but America has the potential of not only curing itself of everything, but being able to reach the whole world. Because there are so many millions and billions of people. A big percentage of the world, wherever you go, there's in ordinary people, not so much in people in high places, but people who are just ordinary people, especially poor people who've suffered. And in their suffering, they've become better than us. Suffering is a good thing. Not that we want to impose it upon them, because if you're going to suffer, it shouldn't be because I have to suffer because I can be a better person. The very fact that you have virtue makes you the enemy of the system you're in. That shouldn't be in America. It really shouldn't. But it's become to be that way. So I'd like you to call me. I would like to find a way to, instead of talking to you about what's going on in politics, I started to read this. I started to do this, and I just want to read a line to you so I can jump away from it, because it has something in there, in the first two lines, that could set me on fire as to what I am alluding to when it comes to your illness, diseases, suffering, your loss of memory, your everything. There's nothing on this earth that can cure it. None of the diseases you have, 95%, none of them stand alone in isolation. It is like an evolution or evolution. That would be better. You have to understand, for example, excuse me, that the Earth, the universe, could not have created itself. It couldn't have exploded in a Big Bang. That would be chaos. As the nuclear bomb explosion does not create, cannot create anything. I was looking for the right word and it disappeared for me. But it's destructive. It doesn't create, there's the word again. I could take 10 minutes trying to figure out what word it is, but structure. It cannot create structure. It destroys structure. A bomb destroys structure. So how can something as small as a pin, which it can't be, not possible. Relatively speaking, it could look like a star way, way, way billions of miles away and looks like a pinhead. But if you're a pinhead, you think that's a pinhead. But if you have to figure in relativity. And so if you get closer to it, it must be a huge thing with energy coming through it. Well, how else? But where would the energy come from? The universe is created with energy. It was not created with stuff all of a sudden, bang, appearing. It's cause and effect, effect becoming cause. There has to be an uncaused cause. Okay, so we'll take our calls and we'll try to dedicate this program to your misery and suffering and disease, okay? And you give me your disease and I'll show you that you're not at ease, please, okay? Let me talk to Donna, the wife of Matt. I think he was on the program the other day. Yes, he does. He seemed to be making some strides. But hello, Donna. I'm glad you called. Hello.
So I think my basic problem is I just have a lot of hatred and resentment. And, of course, it's all focused in on my poor husband. And I know some of it, I know he's not perfect, but I hate him when he is right. I hate him when he's wrong. And I jump It's horrible. I mean, I have a pretty nice life. We're not starving. But I just have this basic resentment, and I know I just know in my bones it's causing my health issue. I feel really fine, but it's like when I'm laying in bed at night and in the morning, I can see, you know, my conscience bothers me. I see how wrong it is, but in the moment, it just rises up and just, it's awful.
Yes, it captures you, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes, it owns you. Whatever it
totally
it is.
Owns me, yeah.
Yes. You have an identity crisis like everybody else.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned a few moments ago, I don't know if you listened to my opening salvo, but I said something very simple. You can take a boy into the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Now, what I implied by that is that when you were born, you came into a culture, let's call that a country. And because the injustice in every country, in every family, injustice comes through the generations. And the good book says it very uniquely, but difficult to understand is that through one man's sin and death through sin spread through the whole human race. That you need to consider. Could that be a curse? Could that be something that passes from generation to generation? So every generation that gives birth to a child, that child finds themselves into a country or a culture, which is equivalent, and the culture gets into them and takes the place of God in them, and if you know what I mean. And so the culture sits, implodes inside you and sits unholy in the place of the holy, so to speak. So the child's relationship is with its environment and the culture. And once the culture has breached the sentry of your conscience,
okay,
and God inside you, you are separated from the unfoldingness of beautiful power and purpose. You are immediately, and something unholy takes the place of the holy, and you become addicted to more.
Okay.
Just like a drug addict tends to look towards what is worst for him to feel better about his rotten self. And we can't help that. We cannot stop it. And if you were, I suggest that you came into a family, I'm guessing now, but it's a good guess, that how many family members did you have?
I have a brother and a sister and my parents.
Okay. And do you have any friction with them?
Yeah, yes, there was friction with them. Yes,
was there serious friction where you lost your cool, or your mother and father or father loved them more than you or something, or made you the favorite or whatever? What was the situation there?
Well, yes, I was a little bit of the favorite because my parents were big into education and I did well in school. So school was kind of their religion.
So were you pressured to? Yes, that you were pressured to learn.
I was pressured to perform, yes.
Yes,
Not horribly, but then, you know, it's like there was no moral training at all. It was just, if you got good grades, okay, you're okay, rather than...
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful statement. That's
okay.
Could you please examine what you just said? See,
well,
you were pushed into the culture. You now were born to the expectations of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they can praise you, what a wonderful person they created.
Yes.
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 That's very bad.
Yes.
I had a famous violinist, my first client, many years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. He was a famous violinist, and he loved the violin by itself. And so when he was 3 years old, he could play, you know, anything, Schubert Serenade, anything. And the mother caught on to this and started to force him to practice when he would have practiced anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So she changed her will for the will of the Creator who gave him that skill. He had it already, like Mozart. Nobody taught him how to play the piano. He just, it's magic. That is a grace he's got. So what the mother did was take the place of God. And so she pushed him and pushed him and pushed him until he hated what he was doing. But he loved it. He had a love-hate relationship, but he couldn't put aside his violin. But his mother made him practice 8 hours a day.
Oof.
And so what happened is that his loyalty and his ability to express beauty from the heart as a gift from God was displaced by his mother. So every time he had an applause, he hated himself, got drunk, etc., etc. And so he came to see me. I helped to fix that in one day.
Nice.
Because, you see, a hatred towards his mother was injustice. The mother was unjust. And looking for, it's all about her and her son. How wonderful she made that son.
Right.
And that is very wicked and cruel.
Yeah.
It's all about them, not you. So you have to let that go. That's what you have to do.
Okay.
And so your mother didn't know any better. That was the only way she could get a sense of worth.
Exactly.
By making you more worthless. It's your thought you got. Listen, I can tell you a good story about another one like that.
Okay.
Would you like to hear that one?
I would love to.
It's really similar. So my son gave me a little package with a needle and a very special kind of needle and thread for the sailboat I had, you know, for the sails. But anyway, it was too big, too difficult for him to do it because it ripped a little bit. So I took it to the sailmaker, whatever you call him. And while I'm talking to him, when I came back, while I was talking to him, I was about to pay him. He showed me some pictures of his kids. He says, look at my kids. They've got all degrees, and he goes on and bragging about them. I said, do you think you created them? He says, yes. I said, no, you destroyed them. And, you know, I said the same thing to him as I said to you. He jumped over the counter, put me in a neck hold. He got so angry. Okay, so I had myself in a neck hold. I said, listen, do me a favor. I'm going to throw you through the window if you don't let me go. I understand why you... He got caught with his pants down.
Right.
I said, you can't create them. You have to set them free and teach them, be a model of virtue and selflessness. But you were selfish. You wanted to use your kids to say what a wonderful person you are. You're no damn good. That's what I said to him.
Yeah, and I can see that we did but that you, a little bit with our children, too. I have.
We do, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Push religion, push education. Never unfold for the purpose for which he was born.
Right.
So culture gets into the boy.
Okay.
As you see, therefore, but the boy can't get out of the culture. See that? No, so, my purpose is because that causes sickness. Drinking,
yes.
Drugs, alcohol.
Yes.
And an angry little girl like you towards your mother and father.
So okay.
I can tell you, your mother did this or your father?
It was both of them. I mean,
but which one was the initiator of
it
and which one carried it out?
I think it was my dad more. I mean, they were both teachers. So, of course, in their world, you know, the highest thing you can achieve is to have well-educated children. And I'm really the black sheep in the family. I didn't finish college.
God,
my poor dad was paid for me to finish college till the day he died.
That's the idea.
And it wasn't, luckily, it wasn't important to me at that point, probably.
But you rebelled again. See, the difference is you rebelled, but it stayed with you.
Okay.
See, when you love someone too much, you make them God, and you have I have a little problems with words today. A bipolar, not bipolar,
okay.
But a love-hate relationship.
Okay.
And either one of those will keep you stymied on the
okay.
same road, whether you're rebel. Let's give you an example. There's a teacher in school. And she picks on a kid and pushes him to learn, because he doesn't learn so quick. But the person that doesn't, the kid that doesn't learn so quickly can learn on his own much more quickly than having someone teach him and push it on him. So he began to hate the teacher. And they used the hate to keep the teacher out, but it also kept the education out, which in a manner of speaking. So when he tried to learn to read, he had a problem, so when he picks up the book in his anger, because he knows he needs to read, the book became the teacher and triggered and kept alive his rebellion. And I see that you've done something quite remarkable. You have what you have your own thing. You've taught yourself, or you've been taught by spiritual intuition. Intuition. You're an intuitive person, but the intuition, as good as it is not completely perfect. What you need to do is to realize that the only block you have, because you love to unfold like a flower, which is as it should be, and you've done very well by rejecting religion, but you've rejected, I mean, you know, education in a strict and rigid style.
Right.
Which is very bad for you. And so you've kept, as best you can, your intuition. The trouble is, you have a guilt connected to that. And so that no matter how good your intuition is, unless you let it go of the hate which reconnects you to your parents' behaviors, you won't be able to get the country out of the boy.
So do you think that I have transferred this to my husband? Because we work together, so of course I have to take direction from him, which I
Yes, it would be, because my wife does this. My wife is 84, and she's had a certain kind of husband, father, I mean, that is no damn good. And she had a difficult life, and she was always looking, going to churches and looking for something, but not finding it. Then she found me, and we got together. And 64 years later, she still has this irritation to religion, even though she loves what I'm saying and sits in the call sometimes listening to what I have to say. She never gets it. And the reason is because every time something goes wrong and I speak about it in my ordinary way, as I speak to people, admonish her, but it turns to remembering her father, the way he was towards her.
Okay.
And so as long as she had that reaction, then I became the reassurance, the reinforcement, because I'm a man. It
right.
could be, see, the subconscious mind is like an animal. If you go to church, for example, and you go to a certain church and you hear the word Jesus said like this, and Jesus said this, and Jesus said that. You ever seen that?
Yes.
Okay. And so, but that is so that the person who is in the business of Jesus can have a backup if he's not well, so they recognize the conditioning that keeps the people loving Jesus. Got it?
Uh-huh.
And it got them addicted. And they don't know it.
Yeah.
See that? And so the person in your life was your father. It doesn't matter now. Let's say it is your father and your mother.
Right.
So you need to let your father go. The reason is because the order of God's love should come through the father. And where
right.
the father fails, then the tendency of this child to feel resentful because he doesn't protect.
Right.
He doesn't protect her from her mother. Because men need to protect their children from Eve in the mother or wife. See? Every woman has an Eve in her. And
okay.
You're an intelligent woman. I can see it brilliant. Beautiful. Excuse me, I don't normally do this to people, but you have that. You come as straightforward, everything. But what's wrong with you, you still have problems resenting your father for implementing it, if not, you know, going along with it.
And it's funny because I can't see it. My husband's been telling me this for decades. I mean, I have active hatred many times during the day for my husband.
Well, he's a man. He's a man, don't you see? He's an object. It could be any man. It could be a good man, and you can't still stop. But the good man tends to represent, is supposed to represent God, and therefore the first person you got to forgive is your father, and the second one your mother. It's at that order. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 800-866-8883, and we've gone through a half an hour already. Good Lord. Okay, now, I have a very interesting lady, Donna, the wife of a gentleman that's been on several times with his, talking about his wife and his problems and why she's so angry. But this lady is unusual. So, but my wife is very much similar. As long as if I try to correct her, admonish, because that's my job, to admonish. My job is here to people that call in and people listen. Because unless you understand what the problem is and you have the courage to say, look, this is what's wrong with you. But the average person doesn't like to admit what's wrong with them. They'd rather you be wrong and get upset with you as you did something wrong by talking to them about what you see, which would, if you would apply it, you'd be okay. So my wife is still 64 years old and still trying to get to her, but she's getting worse in that sense. 83. She's 80. 84 now. Oh, by the way, tomorrow is my birthday. 88. But anyway, I just want to come back to Donna in just a minute, because this lady is a delight to talk to. It's a very simple thing here. Very simple. But it calculates into the system of things. The fact that when you get upset, as a child, the country gets into the child. And it cannot stop. Cannot. It either rebels and goes its way and does its best intuitively, or it rebels and becomes so angry that it loses sight of all intuition and has to create its own way of becoming something. And that is a disaster. There has no end to it. And all kinds of sicknesses and troubles. But this lady, you know, Donna, that's interesting because she has a conscience and she's recognizing the anger and she's trying to make a connection to it. And I'm saying that you have to learn to let your father go, because once you start to get angry with the object, and if somebody beat you with a belt, if your dad beat you with a belt, and then one day, 20 years later, somebody had a similar belt like that, you start to hate that person, but it was because the person is a man and the belt would trigger hatred. It's like a post-traumatic stress disorder. In fact, the culture has a way of building itself inside you so that you're no longer yourself, but you're subject to the world and the authority of the world. And that is what causes all anxiety, the authority of the world, like animals. You take an elephant and you can make him do what you want. And human beings have a tremendous aptitude of being controlled so severely that you can cause them to commit suicide. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, please support my program. Support it with... It's a non-profit organization, 501c3, same as Catholic Church. We need this because we cannot stay on the air unless you do. And the bad things are going to happen. I can't talk any more about that. But I can teach you how to deal with things. Your disease is perhaps maybe more interesting to you for me to help. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And just call me. I'll be finished with Donna in just a little bit, but I think David wants to say something in a few minutes. But see, the problem you have can be reduced to something of the Ten Commandments. You honor your mother and father, that the days may be long in the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, but it says don't hate your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. Doesn't say that they have to be good. You have to honor them, meaning even if they beat you up, if you cannot hate them, which is almost impossible for a child to do, But the child could grow up and listen and understand, but my parents couldn't help their parents. and their parents and parents' parents and all the grandparents. They all had the same thing, that one man's sin and death through sin spread the whole human race. And everybody, every kid has a country, and they can't get out of the country. You can take the country out of the boy. You can take the boy into the country, I said. But you can't take the country out of the boy. That's it. But meditation, or looking for it in the intuitive aspect of what it is that's happened to you, is very simple. Injustice, cruelty, pushing the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil on people. I mean, there it is in the beginning. Knowledge of good, knowledge of evil, just as bad as each other. Because as a person separated from God, you may have an idea of good and evil, but you might be tricked by that. Because how do you know when you're looking at somebody that's good? There may be a person who is projecting good, but no damn good inside. Then you have a person who's really broken, and he's a crook or something, but doesn't mean to say he's bad. He can't stop any more than the person who's pretending to be good. And so we all compensate that way. We want to be good, or we enjoy being bad. We enjoy being bullies. We enjoy being appeasers. So you never have a life. That's all there is. And so my friend here, Donna, is really, it's a simple thing. All you need to do is drop the association with your father.
Okay.
In other words, as long as you do something good, which you do intuitively, the dark side of you that took hold makes you feel guilty. In other words, the action that should have been intuitive from the very beginning is coming from what you see is right, but it is not motivated correctly. You could do the right thing for the wrong reason.
Okay.
You can do the right thing when you're angry.
Right.
See that? And so, but that relationship has to go away for the innocence of a little child to come back. And meditation will do that for you. The meditation.
Okay, so
yes.
I have been doing the meditation now for, since October.
Yes.
And I'm somehow, I don't know if this is normal or not, or I'm just so lost, but I can listen to your little cassette tape or whatever it is, the little thing that looks like a credit card.
7-minute one, yes.
Well, I listen to the longer one, but I'm able to somehow drown it out with my mind, and it's only periodically that I even wake up. I mean, I can
Let me tell you what to do. That's too much for you. The long version is about 40 minutes.
Okay.
And that too long for you is like learning. It's too reminiscent to learning.
Okay.
And so it sort of scratches it doesn't know how to deal with that. I'm teaching. I don't want to teach you. And so the meditation that's free on the web, antidoteforall.com, that has no education in it. And what you need, all your kind of person needs, is instruction of how to come to paradise. Whoops, that's right. Be still and know. So all you need is nothing but to be still and let, like the prodigal son, as the prodigal daughter, you're moving towards the God of redemption. And you don't even know it's happening. And you'll open your eyes and everything will look different, as if you were become a little child again. That's all you need. You don't need any teaching. You know all about right and wrong, don't you? You know about that.
Yes.
And you're troubled by it because damned if you do it and damned if you don't, because it's a conditioning, and that conditioning is what compels you. So you can't get it right. The motivation's wrong. It's not coming from the right source. Yes, David wants to make a point. But do you understand what I'm saying, Donna? Did you understand that?
I believe so, yes.
It's a motivating force. Missing is the motivating force of God within you. As you had, when you came into the world, it was there.
Okay.
And it got displaced by the cleverness of intellectualism.
Okay.
So David wants to say something. I'm sorry, David.
Okay, so I heard you say, Donna, a little while ago that you have active anger or hatred toward your husband every day.
Yes, and I can see it a lot of the time.
Okay, wait.
And a lot of the time I can't, and I can't get out of it even when I can see it.
Let me make the point. When you say I, you've made the first mistake.
Okay. Now, he's pointing that out to me.
Let me make a point.
Okay.
Listen. Just a generic use of the word possession. In the dictionary, it says the state of having, owning, or controlling something.
Okay.
But see, when you say I have active hate toward my husband, you're not seeing that you don't have hate. Hate has you.
Okay.
Hate is a monkey that's on your back.
Yes.
And it pulls your hair and it pokes you in the eye and everything that around you has the ability for it to feed off of, to react to. And this is the way you've been living for so long. Now it's coming to a point where it's a fork in the road. And if you continue to say, I have hate, then you're assigning the guilt to yourself, as my dad says.
Okay.
Only one man bears the guilt of all the sin of the world. You got to stop with the I thing, and
only need to be saved by it by realizing that you of yourself you can't fix it.
Okay,
but you can see that it's not you.
That's it.
You can see that it's not you. It is an alternate identity. It is
yes.
When you try to fix it, it isn't you fixing it.
That's
it's
it.
It making you worse?
Okay.
That's why you have to be still. See, so if you will try that 7-minute meditation a couple of times a day, that's all. 7 minutes. It goes past very quickly. There's no learning in it. There's only me moving you across the Maginot Line, the Berlin Wall, from Russia to freedom. All I'm doing is that. Be still and know. It's a different kind of knowing, and you had it when you were born. So you have to go across the border, and you don't know where the border is yet. I know where the border is. I know how to show you where it is. And you won't know why it works for a while, and maybe you'll never understand, but all of a sudden you'll feel freedom, and everything's different.
Okay.
And David gave you some very good advice. I'm going to kick his butt because he's getting better than me. I'm getting jealous.
I don't get rewarded husband, for doing good. I get punished.
My husband has pointed that out to me, that it's not, he said some of the same things you guys have said, because he sees it more clearly than I do, that it's not, I'm identifying with that part that's been taken over.
But you are, though, really. You are identified with it. You're not realizing it. Only in the rebellion.
Right.
Rebellion. Conformity and rebellion are two horns on the same goat.
Okay.
I have another point I have to make to you. It's very important.
Okay.
Let's say you're walking out in the jungle and you step into quicksand. What is the first thing you know to do or not to do?
Don't thrash around.
Don't struggle, right? Because the more you struggle, the more it consumes you. But it's the same thing when you feel anger or hate.
Okay.
Whatever you want to call it, coming on. The first thing you do is don't struggle with it. Don't try to use a different opposing force to stop it. Simply step and realize I've stepped in quicksand. Now I've got to get real calm. I've got to stop right now.
It's different. The quicksand explanation is good, but not good enough. But he's saying the right thing, because if you are still, it's not like the quicksand thing. The stillness allows God to catch up with you and save you. But if you struggle for yourself, it's just the opposite. You may have anxiety for a few minutes, and the anxiety is what you're escaping. See, because there's a certain distance between you and what you've become in your struggles. And the more you struggle, the more you play God to yourself.
Right.
You can't save yourself. You can't do that.
Right. You know, what's kind of sad is that I'm not sure I would have even had these glimmers of seeing things, except that I had gotten sick.
And
so it's almost like God is shaking me, saying, wake up. And I'm very glad it happened so that I have time to look around and see, oh, my goodness.
It's really easy, though, isn't it? Really easy. It's really easy. You know what happens to most people? Yeah, they get sick, but they go to the doctor, and the doctor takes the symptom away. And it could be medicine that gives you temporary relief, but doesn't get to the source.
Right,
and
it
could
and
be
I
drugs and alcohol the same way. Never get better.
I had such a clear vision of what was wrong with me when this happened at the time. It's like, oh, my God, I've been taking all this hate and storing it, like, right inside underneath my heart there, right above my stomach. And
Well, you see, it's hate towards the system itself. So you hate your father, and then you hate going to school. But you feel insecure. You feel inferior. You feel like a failure. And so therefore from there you try harder you add to it. So you absorb all the learning and get a little applause. But that's all back to front still.
Yes.
See that? It takes you very far till you get really sick and die. Just from that. It never stops. That's why you've got to be still.
Okay.
And you have to know, not by intellectual. See, Roy Masters and David, but Roy Masters never had an education. I couldn't stand. I didn't get angry. I just wouldn't learn. Just wouldn't learn. I just don't know why I didn't want to learn. I just wanted to see for myself, if you don't mind. World, see that?
Yeah.
And so I'm not of this world. I'm in it, but not of it. And I'm getting old, and I'm not able to say the words as clearly as I used to, but I'm still worth something. I can go for another 20 years, I hope. And my son, when he gets 80, he can take over. Okay. All right. All right, Donna, are we done or not? You want some more? Does it seem like an hour almost that we've been doing this program? Donna is a very interesting caller. Did she hang up? Ah, okay. So, but you see, when we have an intelligent seeking person, you can see your own faults. Never mind if you have cancer or drug addictions. It doesn't matter if you're anemic, you know, leukemia or autism. I was going to talk on that. I just had it written down on a piece of paper here. It doesn't matter what illness you have. It's the effect of a cause and doesn't stand in isolation. It's the effect of a cause causing the next effect, and the effect that is going to create another cause and effect. And these are diseases that slowly kill people, and you can live long enough because of medicine. But if you live long enough for medicine, you don't want to die on medicine, because that's not better living through chemistry. So anybody who goes through life taking medicines to stay alive has never lived. Too busy just staying alive. And then you die. What have you got? Nothing. You're just alive. And that's it. You say, hello, everybody. I like to go on the zoo sometimes. And nothing. There's a purpose in life. Purpose, only being still can give you, and give you the power to overcome all evil. And then there's paradise forever. I believe that that resurrection, the other world that we're talking about, is this world. You rise out of the ground, just like Jesus came out of the cave, with a brand new set of clothes. Because God is a magician. You have to be a magician to make the universe. You have to be all-powerful. Jesus didn't do any magic tricks by turning wine into water. See, I could do that, sorry. Water into wine. What did he do? It's magic. It's real. What you are losing is real magic and trying to make your own magic work. Trying to make something to work, but you don't know what that magic is. You have to become the extension of your creator in little things. Lots of little things. But each one of them is becoming perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Because each little thing will come to you as you need it. You don't need any education. The education will come to you.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, I know why this William fella has a funny voice. Oh, dear, oh, dear. William, are you there in Wisconsin? Hello, William. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Will. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now, Roy.
Okay, so screen is, I've talked to you many times and used to have a much worse voice than you have now, but I see that you're real and you're not play-acting. It seemed like you were play-acting in the very first time I spoke to you. But he says on the screen, it says on the screen, your mom's in hospital and you're suffering. You've given me the clue to everything right there. Is that right? Is that it? You're suffering? Why are you suffering?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean?
Well, it's your mother's are suffering. Are you suffering? You feeling the suffering of your mother? And you think that? What do you think of?
That could be correct, Roy. I can't pinpoint it, old bean.
It's magic. It's real.
What do you say,
I don't
David?
Know what it is.
No, no. You must not take on the... If your son gets shot on the... Listen carefully. I'll say it in a special way. This is a true story. In the prison camps in Second World War, where people were being murdered and slaughtered and thrown into the fiery furnaces, okay, millions of them. There was a person in the camp, concentration camp, and bodies were all there, and the Americans liberated, well, what was left of them, because bodies were everywhere. But they've counted one person that looked perfectly well, never mind his clothes.
Yeah.
And they said to him, how is it you don't look like these people? He says, well, the story's this. I don't understand it myself. He says, but when I was in Warsaw, the Nazis came in and shot four of my kids. My four daughters, and something rose up in me, and something says, if you get angry like that, you will become one of them. And I didn't. So because what could it do except kill me? They put this wicked. Lots of Jewish people survived, and they are basically like Nazis inside. It didn't suffer them, didn't make them better. They became those creatures that kills little children. And so you've got to be very careful. Even if it comes to that, even if it ever comes to that family, you cannot feel what they feel. Because they take you down with it.
Yes.
And so you cannot feel what your mother feels because this is what's kept you as you are. You're the extension of your mother. And if she dies, you're in the grave with her. That's because you identify with her. So when she's dead, you're in the ground with her. And you have old photographs and things like that and never get over it. And you'll never be a man. You'll never be free. Your mother has ruined you. Your mother has ruined you.
Yeah, you know, that's a funny thing you said that, because my dad, the other day, he says, you know, William, you totally messed up your whole life. You know?
Yes, but did he give you the reason for it? Like I did?
No, he didn't. He said you screwed up your whole life, you know.
No, you didn't. Your mother screwed up your own life since you were a baby.
Yeah.
It has to go back that far. And he screwed up your own life by not speaking up to your mother, his wife, and say, stop spoiling that kid.
Yeah.
Because she's possessing her. But she's looking for your love. She's empty. She's looking for your love. She hates the father.
Oh, yeah.
But she's got a little child, a little boy child that loves her. And she doesn't want to let him go because she feels good about he's loving her. And you deep inside, you hate your mother. Deep inside, even though you're serving her, it guilts you into doing it again.
Oh yeah, you know what? She drives me up the wall.
I know that. Let her die.
Well, I don't feel that.
She's no damn good. Excuse me. She's no damn good. Now, when I say that, she might be good, but if you could stand back from her, she might be able to see what she's done to you.
Yeah.
If you could stand back and not hate her, but secretly you hate your mother. But moreover, you hate your father because deep down inside, he never protected you. He never helped you be free from your mother. He wasn't free himself. He couldn't speak up. He just spoke a little bit with no emphasis and no power. And you remained a slave of your mother in life and in death. Oh, that's the best I can do for you, my friend.
Thanks.
Okay, you call me back again? How old is your mother?
She must be at least 83, 4, 5, 83,
and 4. And what kinds of feelings do you have for your mother? What does suffering mean to you?
Suffering.
What does it mean?
Yelling, screaming, pouring hot coffee over my head. You know.
You mean you're suffering pain?
Self-inflicted suffering.
Yes, what I mean. Self-inflicted suffering.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Well,
what is the suffering? What is your mother's in hospital and you're suffering. What does that mean to you? Now, in the light of what I said. You must not be the extension of someone's feelings. Whether they're angry, you don't want to be the extension of that feeling. And when they love you and do nice things for you and give you good feelings, you mustn't have good feelings. You need to say thank you and mean it and let that person go. All right, we're going to talk to you. We'll keep him on the air. We'll be right back. Okay, David says he has a clue, so we'll take him to the other side of the break. This is the top of the hour coming up. 800-866-8883. May I suggest you get the little 7-minute meditation is free. You have an iPhone. What's the other one? iPhone, Android, and get a copy of that, and see what happens, and share it with your friends, and support the Foundation of Human Understanding, because it took. And you can go to Antidote for All and sit and listen to it. It's easier. It's the only thing on the screen and in your ear. So you give that a try, or you go to FHU.com for business. FHU.com for business. And Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. We'll be back, and we're going to put William on with his funny voice. It used to be funnier, but we're getting closer to the problem of it.